today.
We're engaged in all possible ways through every possible channel to secure their release, and we once again urge North Korea to grant their immediate release on humanitarian grounds.
Two American journalists kidnapped by the North Koreans, it seems, along the Chinese border, got terrible news on Monday. Yuna Lee, 36 years old, and the mother of a 4-year-old, and Laura Ling, 32, both slapped with a sentence of 12 years in prison by North Korea's highest court. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and that's where we start. The voice you just heard, of course, was that of Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State. Now, Clinton is careful as she goes further along in speaking about the plight of these two women to say that what's happening with North Korea and their nukes and their threats and the testing is a separate issue from this of the two American journalists. Now, they're sentenced to 12 years in prison in North Korea, and what we're talking about with North Korea is reform through labor, and we're talking about hard labor. I mean, they are famous. It's almost like mafia treatment, a mafia we've never seen in these gulags or prisons, the camp that they're going to be in. Malnourishment and beatings are very, very, very common. Now, the journalists were part of a thing called Current TV. It's a San Francisco-based TV network founded by former U.S. VP Al Gore. They were filming a report about North Korean refugees in China when they were seized by North Korean agents, as the story goes, along the border between the two countries. Immediately, the government is upset, the U.S. government, and they call on North Korea to release the two women on humanitarian grounds. That's not happening. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that the North won't comply anytime soon, I think. So the two are a bargaining chip, no doubt, between Washington and North Korea, and no one knows at this point what the North is going to want for them. But you can bet it's going to have to do something with the situation, the standoff with the nukes. Mm. And for a very long time, and I didn't realize this until I started to delve a little deeper into this. For a very long time, the Japanese have been saying, Japan has been saying that that their citizens were kidnapped in the 70s and 80s, and then they were trained to spy when they were filtered back into Japan. They were sort of brainwashed. So Kim Jong-il now has these two pawns that he can play with here in terms of negotiating with the United States, because there are no negotiations, right? And in looking into things that have happened before in North Korea, as I said, Japan, just one of the many, many examples, these twisted things that happen with the kidnapping. And apparently, one thing that Kim Jong-il is known for is resorting to abduction to satisfy whatever it is. So we'll see if there's any kind of anything that the U.S. can do to strike some kind of a deal to get these two journalists released, but there is no appeal process, and the families of the two American journalists, I think, are in shock and, can't believe that their family is in this situation. They're devastated, no doubt, by the sentence, but you knew it was going to be bad. And a lot of people are calling for compassion and clemency and all this other sort of stuff. And there has been little communication in the 3 months they've already spent under arrest. And diplomatically, and this is pretty sensitive stuff, I mean, there's so much heightened tension between the U.S. and North Korea. Do you think a U.S. envoy to North Korea will actually help? Is there a way to get them released? I don't know. You got to remember, there just was a journalist released after 4 months in prison in Iran. And I don't think that they're going to have the same fate. Her name was Roxana Saberi. I don't I don't think they're going to be reunited with their families anytime soon, regardless of were they kidnapped, were they whatever, because it's going to be a question of, okay, well then, approve it. Right from the get-go, I'm going to give out my daily salute, and my daily salute, believe it or not, goes to Leon Panetta. I know, shocking, the CIA director, and the reason I give him the daily salute. Do we have some applause from that studio audience? Yeah, I have a brutal throat condition. I have a sore throat. I think I passed it on to them, although I hear some pretty good lung capacity coming out of that crowd. I love how it just goes on and on. The CIA, hear that? Sweet! The CIA director told a federal judge basically on Monday, forget about it, that we don't want to release these documents about more interrogations because it's going to damage our national security even more. In fact, he worked up a 24-pager to send to the New York federal judge arguing that release of any of the kind of cables describing the interrogation methods used on Al-Qaeda suspects would pretty much give the enemy a roadmap of what U.S. counterterrorism does and how it works. Forget all the other stuff. But, of course, this is in response to what was the big concern in the first place, the lawsuit that was brought by the American Civil Liberties Union. The suit has already led to the unveiling, of course, of those legal memos with the methods, the waterboarding. We already lived through that, right? And now there's more to come if this information is released. In the court papers, Panetta acknowledges that the CIA destroyed 92 videotapes, 92, of detainee interrogations that took place in 2002. So supposedly the tapes showed the enhanced interrogation techniques, which a lot of critics are calling torture, right? So now you got the destruction of the videotapes. That means a criminal investigation into why they were destroyed. The tapes and the interrogations are also an issue in the ACLU's lawsuit. But the CIA is trying to stop the forced release of the documents. Does this make sense? Look, you're Americans. What say you? Is this just completely wrong and screw it? We should just release all this information because... So what if the headlines are ugly in the French newspapers and the British newspapers and Al Jazeera, et cetera, has a field day with it? I don't know how anyone can take that point of view, though. Because if you want the country, I say this all the time, I really truly mean this, if you want the country to be safe, right, and this isn't fear-mongering, why would you purposely, whether you think it's atrocious what happened, whether you think it's a sham that the things that happened with the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, why does that need to be released? Why is it such a big deal? How transparent do you have to be? Do you think Sarkozy feels that he has to be that way with everything that the French are doing? Do you think Gordon Brown feels that way in England? I don't even have to go through some of the rest of the gang, like the King of Jordan, etc., because I already know how they feel. So give me a break. Transparency is good to a certain extent, but at what cost to America? Leon Panetta, you get the daily salute for fighting what you should fight up against the ACLU and the lawsuit they're bringing. Hopefully they won't release all this information. 800-259-5791. Kate hanging out with you here on ATN.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's NuRevOnline.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
Hi, I'm John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and let's take in a brief mind movie. We're surrounded by jesters, members of the nation's largest clown club based in Washington, D.C. Fuzzy hair, baggy pants, big yellow shoes, and now offering financial assurances that all will be well. The stimulus package is working. A bailout is coming your way. And while we're flat broke, we're also told that we've stepped back away from the brink. Pardon me? Back to the real world. We know that we can rely on no one but ourselves to generate financial security. Protecting your assets is solely up to you. No one else is coming to the rescue. Please call me, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, to discuss investing in precious metals, gold and silver, with a 6,000-year track record of success and security. I'm John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and together we'll create a package that really works for you.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
A cry of all of longing would call a ship's report. The count is going voices like whispers in the dark.
This tunage. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. The show is called America Tonight. Kind of pinging all over the place, including the CIA urging the judge, Panetta anyway, to keep the detainee papers secret. Just, you know, shut her down. Shut her down because we need all that nasty stuff out there. And then, of course, the other thing is, will the U.S. actually send an envoy after the North Korea... The American reporters jailed in North Korea. Sounds like they were totally set up, but regardless, they're in a foreign country. It's like one of those scary movies that you see. Remember that one, what was it called, Midnight Express? Did you ever see that? Somebody told me to rent that a while ago. I hadn't seen it. Ooh. There's some scary stuff that happen when you're that can happen when you're an American and you're in the wrong situation and they, unfortunately, we're in the wrong situation. Darren is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Darren.
Hey, Kate.
Aaron. It's Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron. You
right?
Remembered.
I know. For some reason, Aaron, every time you call on this, guys, it must be that, to me, your accent sounds fine. I can't even notice it. You have a great voice, but they must think you're saying Darren, I guess. But we know you're Aaron. It's okay.
I'll start spelling my name, I guess. Just
that's okay.
You're right. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes. Went fishing with my kids. We didn't catch anything, but, you know, it was still a family kind of event, so, you know, it's good to do that.
When you go fishing, do you do the catch and release thing?
They allow people to keep so many, and then after you, like, I think got 5 or 6 fish, you had to release the ones after that, but we didn't even get one, so we didn't even have to worry about that.
Didn't even land a minnow, nothing, huh?
Well, we got tugs on the line, and you know, we saw people catch fish, but there were not very, very many fish caught, so, you know, we wasn't sad that we were not the only one that didn't get anything, but it was good family time anyway, so.
Yeah, that's all that matters, brother.
Right. I guess I have a couple things what you've been talking about so far to comment on. First, the documents, memos and all that, I guess, in relation to what happened with Guantanamo and all that, I feel personally all about that is that did nothing but just give us a bad name to the international community at large. I mean, all countries, you know, I mean, they have to try to protect themselves, and the U.S. is no exception. I mean, we try to get information, you know, and try to do it in ways that are not, you know, hopefully against the law. But, you know, for whatever reason, for whatever, you know, they did to get the information, you know, I mean, that I think that if you try to sum it all up and you actually put it out there, and, I mean, and like you were saying, I mean, you know, Al-Qaeda, whoever, you know, terrorists, you know, anybody that's listening and, you know, listening to our news and reading our papers, listening to our talk radios, I mean, you know, they're going to get a good idea about what we're doing here. And I think that's, you know, I mean, I don't think you want to let some secrets out, you know, I mean, I just think that kind of compromises our country as far as that goes.
Oh, I agree. I think it compromises it big time, Aaron, because then, and you're just adding fuel to the fire. So, okay, now everybody knows, and everybody knows that it's out there, and everybody can form opinions across the world. That's Obama goes to the Middle East. He tries to soothe feelings, certainly. So we've already been down this road. Why do we have to go back down there again?
Right, and I think it's one of those unspoken things. You know that you know, but you don't. I mean, you know, it's just like, well, you don't know, but you know. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I mean, everybody
exactly.
knows you're going to do stuff. But anyway, with that was the comment on that. As far as Korea, I think that this is the president over there, the leader. I can't say his name.
Kim Jong Il.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think that he's testing Obama. You know, with Obama trying to be, you know, I mean, do everything in such a diplomatic way to try to make friends with everybody. And we live in the real world. I mean, I wish we lived in a world where everybody did the right thing, but we don't. I think, though, that he's testing Obama, seeing what Obama will do. Now, if, you know, I mean, and I understand if Americans go abroad and we do bad things, you know, things we shouldn't, I mean, you know, I think that we should, you know, be subjected to, you know, the laws, you know, I guess to the country, whatever we're doing wrong. I mean, you know, because we shouldn't, just because we're Americans doesn't mean that we're above laws, you know, of any other country either. But if, you know, like innocent people, I mean, you know, they were doing their journalism job, I mean, you know, whatever they were doing, you know, and I hope that's what they were doing, but, you know, here they get kidnapped and they're sentenced to, you know, hard labor, I mean, 12 years, and, you know, I mean, innocent people, I mean, obviously it's wrong, but it's, you know, it's a ploy, it's just to see what U.S. will do, I mean, and if U.S., if all Obama is going to do is say, you know, please release them, I think we need to get the United Nations involved, I think, you know, to see if the United Nations has some backbone in this, you know, concern with our citizens, you know, as much as we are, and I think there should be international support, I mean, because really, you know, that kind of pressure, I think, needs to be put on North Korea. I know we've had one war there, you know, I think maybe that's something that Korea is going to see us if we would want to go down that road again, you know, anyway, so... you know, I think we need to have a strong response on this. You know, it's one thing for our citizens to do something wrong, you know, break laws in their country,
right.
You know, I mean, that's one thing, but for innocent people to be kidnapped, I mean, it to be obvious that it was done with the intent of just, you know, dangling that in front of our faces just to see what our country would do about it.
That's right, that's right. And they got to do something. And it's just, like I said before, it's just the worst timing that could possibly be. Because of the nuclear tests and the
right.
flexing of Kim Jong-il's muscle. But apparently this nut is very fond of nabbing people, whether they're Japanese folks or whoever it happens to be, and they were sitting ducks. I mean, they were sitting ducks is what I think. And it's not right. It isn't right. And I hope they get them released, but I just don't know how you go about
yeah.
that because I think they're going to want to negotiate. They're going to want... to be something to do with hands off with our ships, etc. And I just don't think they can do that, Aaron. That's the problem.
I know. Is South Korea, I mean, are they, you know, because you know, we hear a lot of talk of North Korea, but, you know, South Korea, I guess, is still an ally as far as I understand.
You know, South Korea is an ally to us. And South Korea, they're, I mean, it's a tentative thing for them because they want to have a good relationship with North Korea if possible.
Right.
And
right.
now they're involved in what's happening with these ships and the idea that they'll block the ships that are trying to come in with the weapons. So
right.
South Korea is agreeing to that with the U.S. to pony up and do that. So that puts them in a precarious
right.
situation. But
exactly.
Somebody's got to shut him down. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're either gonna play pool or you're not. There's no There's no half in this or half out of it. And I think, and Obama was the one who said it. He said, listen, we've been going down this path too long, both in the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, because they keep talking about these sanctions and the guy does whatever he wants. And I think now they gotta more than flex the muscle. They gotta do something about it.
Yeah, it has to be done, and it needs to be shown. People, dictators of the world that if they just have all power, I mean, I think they need to be put in check. There is like, well, no, you know, we're not gonna allow you to do this against people, you know, I mean, innocent people that, you know, you just can't do whatever you want. You know, you have to kind of, be human about stuff. You know, you just can't.
Can't do what you want to do. Exactly, and that's what they're invoking here—the whole humanitarian deal. But only because of what's happening with the nuclear situation, I don't think it's going to work. I think that he's going to say, absolutely, your people broke the law. We're willing to deal. We're willing to pardon them. Whatever, but you have to. You have to put us in the game as far as the nukes are concerned, and I don't think they'll be willing to do it. So keep your eye out on that one. I'm sure we'll be talking about it. Aaron, have a good one. Have a safe drive.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right. All right, you can chime in like Aaron did at 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. He agrees with me about the situation in particular about the CIA. And Panetta's saying to the judge in this case where the ACLU wants everything exposed, saying, listen, we can't do this. It's detrimental to our national security. Which way will they play it? There's going to be a push for this freedom of information. See, here's the thing. It's like I said before. The bottom line is we've already seen horrific photos, right? Abu Ghraib, we've already seen those. We've already seen the memos as far as the enhanced interrogations, or at least some of them. We've already heard about some of the briefings that were either messed up and had holes in them, or briefings where somebody wasn't telling exactly, somebody in the Senate wasn't, or in Congress wasn't telling exactly what they knew or what they heard. There's been nothing but nastiness that's come out of revealing these photos and revealing these memos. And so at this point, the cat's out of the bag, but, you know, how far do you want the cat to roam? That's a pretty fair question, right? 800-259-5791. Odds and ends coming up on the flip side.
It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You must quit.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-849-6863. That's 888-849-6863. Call 888-849-6863.
The people need an answer right now for you to bring the hemp back to America. Bring the hemp.
This is brought to you by HempUSA.org, supplier of fine hemp products. Sponsoring the Genesis Communications Radio Network, the leader in alternative talk radio.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You're going to like this one. Boy, sometimes it takes a long time to get the justice, I think, and to feel like Lady Justice has served you. You know, the scales of justice have slanted in your favor. This was one of the strangest stories ever. The entire time that I've been on the air of America Tonight. Okay, you ready for what it is? Remember this story about the congressman who had $90,000 stashed away in his freezer? Yeah, little old guy named Congressman William Jefferson, former U.S. representative, right? Now he is, anyway. So he's got a bunch of obstacles in his way because he's facing charges of bribery, racketeering, and federal charges. And I think the juiciest thing and the thing that everybody wants to know is, what were you doing with $90,000 in your freezer? What was the $90,000? So he represented New Orleans for quite some time. And then, of course, he lost his bid for re-election last year. So his trial starts today in a U.S. district court in Alexandria. And that's on the allegations that he got more than $90,000, almost $500,000 in bribes in return for using his influence to broker business deals in Africa. So what will his defense attorneys do? They're going to attack the credibility of a witness who frequently wore a wire for the government, because, of course, that's what you do, try to discredit that. But they found this $90,000 wrapped in aluminum foil, and he's going to have to explain that, and I can't wait to hear the explanation for it. It's going to be all too good, because just days before they found that money, they had videotaped him at a hotel accepting a suitcase stuffed with $100,000 cash from a cooperating witness. So they're calling it the freezer funds. And oh, what an ugly headline that was. Because he's in the middle of this, I don't think that he'll come on with this. But the former congressman, you never know, he might accept the key to get out of the dungeon. But right now we're going to throw him in the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Mm-hmm. Now, bribery might be tough to prove in some cases, but boy, they got him cold on that tape. I mean, come on. I don't see how he wiggles out of this one. But I'm not his defense attorney, and I hear he's got a pretty good defense attorney who is cleverly working all angles of this thing, including, as I just told you, the wiretap thing, the credibility of the person who was wearing the wire. I can't wait to hear, though, about the cash, the stash in the freezer, how he explains that. Yeah, that's beyond me. In the meantime, I thought this was one of the highlights of the last couple of days that I've heard, only because it says something about this country, and it says a lot about this country, actually, when you have people that go to pack a funeral of somebody they don't know. I think one of the worst things that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks is the idiot that allegedly pulled up and shot a 23-year-old Army private and killed him outside of an Arkansas recruiting center. So in Conway, Arkansas, you had about 200 people jamming the church. A lot of them were people who had no relationship with Army Private William Long. But how sad for his family. I mean, he just wanted to serve, and he was just a kid. He was just a pup. He went through basic training. He was supposed to go to South Korea, and he was doing what he thought he had to do, and then he shot to death on our soil outside of an Army-Navy career center in West Little Rock, where he was volunteering, actually, to tell other people about his military experience. And then, of course, another soldier was wounded in the attack. In the meantime, a Muslim convert, who prosecutors are saying was out to avenge mistreatment of Muslims, has pled not guilty to capital murder. And Abdullah Keem Muhammad is behind bars, and we'll see, you know, how quickly this becomes, you know, how quickly this goes to trial. But they're already issuing a gag order in the case because the prosecutors want it. They're afraid of too many leaks in this one. That's probably a good thing. What we do know is the attorney for Muhammad is saying that his client was influenced by hardened terrorists with the likes of who he was jailed with in Yemen. So this is nasty business. I mean, I think some of the nastiest stuff that we've talked about, the fact that you have people on our soil volunteering to be part of the military when we need it the most, because we have only a voluntary military, and they're kids. They go through basic training, and this is how they wind up because of some idiot who converts to radical jihadism, I guess, would be the best way to put it, because he was willing to certainly be a martyr from what I've been able to read about this, but ridiculous. He wanted to kill as many soldiers as he could because of the harm he believed the military has done to the Muslims. So two, one dead, one injured, but he was actually out for much more than that. So in a way, it's not lucky, but in a way, at least there weren't more people killed or wounded in this, but just awful. When you live in California, you talk about chases. It's so big that they have email alerts to chases in Los Angeles on the freeways. I mean, everybody remembers the O.J. Simpson chase, right? Everybody in America, everybody in the world has seen parts of that chase if you didn't see it live and you were watching the basketball and in the playoffs, and that happened. But this was a strange deal, and this wasn't in Los Angeles. It was in Pennsylvania. A man who kidnapped his 9-year-old son, all too often we hear this, in northeastern Pennsylvania, led the cops on a 40-mile chase, and it ended in gunfire that killed him and a state trooper. Another trooper was actually wounded and hospitalized. It started late on Sunday night outside of Easton and ended in a township a little bit away from there in Monroe County, actually in the Pocono Mountains, to give you a reference point. So that was the 40-mile range. 31 years old, again, kidnaps his kid, and this is how it ends. And then, of course, a trooper also dead, and another one in what they're calling satisfactory condition at this point. So it happened, on Sunday night, as I said, and they were just responding to a report of a protection from abuse order violation that involved a weapon, but the suspect fled with his kid. So an awful end to that. I mean, just an awful, awful end. The gunfire, the whole thing, and obviously he didn't care. He was just going to empty the chamber. It didn't matter that he had grabbed his kid and was on the run. And luckily, the child wasn't hurt, because in that situation, that could have easily happened. Imagine, that's probably what happened with the troopers. Probably in the craziness of the chase, but also in trying to not have anything happen to the boy. And I don't know, because I don't know how exactly it all went down, but from the bits and pieces I've been able to read of this, one of those things where they thought they had cornered him, I guess, and did, but he fired, so they were firing back, and perhaps there was something about being careful as far as the kid was concerned, and geez, look how that ends up. What ultimately, and this sounds weird, but I think when the coward is alive, and at least they have to face the family in court, there's something about that, whether or not it's death penalty or whatever it is. But when the person ends up dead, now in this case, he didn't kill himself, he was part of that gunfire exchange, but you have one trooper leaving a family gone, thinking it was a routine evening, and then it turns into that. And then you have another who's lucky he wasn't hurt worse than he was, but is still laid up in a hospital bed and missing his partner, obviously, and then going through what you go through. Some of you are troopers that are listening to me. Some of you are police officers. A lot of you call the show. And you go through the investigation process and talking about the details of what happened and all of that, and it's got to be very rough for him, because I've known many, many police officers, had plenty, a handful in my family, and there's nothing like getting your partner's back. And when an officer's down, and especially when the officer ends up dead, it's just the worst, I think, feeling for that entire department, and especially, too, for the partner as well, who certainly was acting in the heat of the moment and trying to help and do whatever he could do. But at least the boy, I guess the bright spot is the boy didn't get hurt in this, because he's the innocent kid. He's the kid that gets ripped away from his mother, is suddenly in this car chase, probably scared out of his mind, because he was definitely young. So at least he survives this and is scarred as long as he's scarred as well as the trooper is scarred, but at least there's two survivors in this whole thing. Coming up on the flip side, we've got birthdays this day in history, news you can abuse, and Sonia Sotomayor hurts her ankle when she's headed to the Senate. I'll explain. That's coming up.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics.
Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to upthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Alright, the woman who could be our next Supreme Court justice, most likely. That's pretty much a slam dunk, right? Like the Red Wings beating the Penguins. This is a slam dunk. Anybody think it's not a slam dunk? I can hear the crickets chirping in the background. No one's gonna ring that phone and tell me she's not. Unless they dig up something unforeseen. I say that all the time, but I don't see what it is. Because already, usually within the first 48 hours, if there was some skeleton to dance out of the closet, it would have already danced. And the ones that did come out were the speeches that she made and some of the things that she said in those speeches. And that pretty much has been covered over and dismissed by, many people at this point. Certainly folks that think that she should be the next woman on the Supreme Court anyway. So the Supreme Court nominee at this point is hobbling around in Washington. She's got a bunch of meetings on Capitol Hill. She broke her ankle in an early morning airport stumble. Then she that'd be brutal. So she had this broken ankle. She gets on a flight from New York to Washington and then finds out that she has this broken ankle. That's awful. She was rushing for her plane at LaGuardia Airport. And I guess they're saying it's really a small fracture. Doesn't matter, broken, small fracture, whatever. She made her meetings with the senators despite the injury. She met with Senator Charles Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, and met with several others as well. So, and during the session, I'm wondering this. You know, when you have a cast, especially when you have a pretty big cast, and she has a pretty big cast on her leg, it's all the way, I think, from about her knee, just a little bit below her knee, all the way down through her foot. I think that you just don't walk around with a blank cast, so I'm thinking that people are signing her cast. Good luck. Go get them. I support you. What do you think these senators are writing on the cast? I'd like to see that. Oh, my, oh, my. All right, news you can abuse, and that wasn't part of it either, by the way. The buzz in Washington isn't just about Sonia Sotomayor. It's about bees. Yeah, the White House recently added a hive to the South Lawn. Yeah, there are two hives on the roof of the Fairmont Hotel there, and the hotel chefs say they can't wait to add the homegrown honey to their recipes. But what about the bee stinging? Is anybody getting stung around D.C.? Would you eat Spam? If times are tough and you can save money, would you eat Spam? The makers of Spam are actually launching a radio and TV ad blitz they started this week. Hormel trying to spiff up kind of the image of the canned meat. They're offering it as one of those tight times alternatives. Sales of canned food certainly have been rising with the economy in a slump. They're promoting Spam recipes, including Spam lettuce wraps and Spam-a-roni. When I was in Hawaii, Spam is like the thing. Everybody eats Spam. You go to the grocery store, they have tons of Spam on the shelves. It's crazy. Let's talk about this one, the giant lobster roll. Boy, this is making me hungry talking about all this food. A lobster roll more than 61 feet long was rolled out at Maine's Old Port Festival in Portland. It was even a foot longer than originally planned. The monster roll contained 48 pounds of lobster meat. That sounds good, doesn't it, guys? 4 gallons, rather, of Miracle Whip. The mega sandwich was cut up in sections and sold to benefit a youth group. Wonder how much money they raised. But they were hoping that the giant lobster roll would earn a Guinness World Record. And it might. 61 feet long. Here's the thing about lobster, though. I don't like lobster in Miracle Whip. Don't you eat lobster and dip it in butter? I don't know. Might have been better that way, but I'm sure they sold a ton of it, especially in Portland, Maine. Let's head to Illinois. There's a guy in Illinois. His name is Donald Bernovich. And in his yard, I guess he is a huge bowling fan. He has, you have to think of what people are thinking when they decorate their lawn sometimes. But he has hundreds of bowling balls on his lawn. He says it's the bowling ball garden. He's a retired railroad guy. He decorates his yard with bowling pins. That's his thing. And almost like flowers. He was bowling since he was a teenager. He's got an average of 180. Oof, 180 is pretty good. And the garden is made from the discards of local bowling alleys. That's where he's getting all this stuff. I just can't. I didn't see a picture of it, and I can't visualize what someone's home would look like with all those bowling balls around it. Donovan, let's ask him. Donovan, our technical maestro here on America Tonight. Can you imagine hundreds of bowling ball pins and bowling balls on the lawn, what that would look like?
It would probably look like the remains of a horrible, horrible juggling contest gone wrong.
I think so. Or somebody who wasn't happy with their scores. I don't know. That's so crazy. But I got to get a picture of this. We're gonna have to call this guy up, and I'll tell you what, we're gonna get him on the show, and I'm gonna ask for photos of this bowling ball and bowling pin phenomenon at his house, because I just have this image in my head, and it's just not a great image. Today in history, there's some interesting things that did happen on June 9th, way back when, including this one. If you remember, you know, we're talking about Sonia Sotomayor. In 69, the Senate confirmed Warren Burger to be the new Chief Justice of the United States, succeeding Earl Warren. In 1973, Secretariat became horse racing's first Triple Crown winner in 25 years by winning the Belmont Stakes. We just had the Belmont, and of course, Summer Byrd won, and there was no Triple Crown this time around. In 1980, ooh, I've seen pictures of this, comedian Richard Pryor suffered almost fatal burns at his home in California when he was working on a mixture of freebase cocaine, and it exploded, and it was awful. The photographs, just terrible. 1985, American educator Thomas Sutherland was kidnapped in Lebanon. He was released in November 91, so all that time, along with another hostage, a name that I think you'll be more familiar with, Terry Waite. Remember that? Also, 10 years ago, President Bill Clinton instructed federal law enforcement types, the agencies really, to collect race and gender data on people they stop or arrest in a move to end racial profiling by police. And 5 years ago, The body of Ronald Reagan arrived in Washington to lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda before the 40th president's funeral. If you remember just last week, Nancy Reagan was there back at the Capitol Rotunda, overwhelmed, I think, by the emotion of the moment and the unveiling of the Ronald Reagan statue, which was an incredible likeness to the former president. Time for birthdays. Ooh, do we have the music, please? There it is. Love it. Gotta have the Beatles. Guitarist, inventor, Les Paul. Come on, anybody who's ever picked up an axe, you know the name Les Paul. 94 years old, 2 years older than my grandfather. Media analyst, Marvin Kalb, is 79. Sports commentator, Cypher Dandy, Dick Vitale, is 70 years old. Mystery author, Patricia Cornwell, is 53. You see her books usually in the front of the store. She's a best-selling author. Also celebrating a birthday is actor Johnny Depp, 46 years old. Actress Gloria Rubin is 45 years old. From Hootie and the Blowfish, rock musician Dean Felber is 42. Actress Michaela Collin from Bones is 31. Actress Natalie Portman, boy, she's been in a ton of stuff, including one of the Star Wars series, one of the prequels. She's 28 years old. If you're a Browns fan, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Cribbs is 26. Actress Mae Whitman is a mere 21 years old. Celebrating a birthday, man, somebody I really admire. You got to admire his tenacity, and he helps other people, and I think he would even if he didn't have Parkinson's. Actor Michael J. Fox, 48 years old. Recently, he's been on episodes of Rescue Me with Dennis Leary. It's so funny. He steals all the scenes. I love that show. And he's great in it, by the way. Absolutely terrific in it. Former World Bank president and former defense secretary Robert McNamara is 93 years old. Also, musician Ed Simmons, we're jumping around now, is 39 years old. Pretty much a good roundup, I think, of birthdays. I'll throw in a couple more. Rock musician John Lord, 68 years old. Also, author Letty Pogrebin is 79. And try as I might, I cannot think of what Letty has written. Remember I told you about Patricia Cornwell, and I knew a lot of her work, but don't know much about Letty's work. We'll tell you about Letty on our next show. Going to leave you with this thought from an American novelist. How appropriate. Next to the slanderer, we detest the bearer of the slander to our ears.
Oh, I knew breakfast was a bad idea!